Welcome to Safilo's conference call on preliminary full year results 2008. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today, speakers for Safilo are Mr. Roberto Vedovotto, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Roberto Tagliapietra, Director of Administration and Control, Mr. Christian De Felice, Director of Group Finance, Treasury and Credit, and Mrs. Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now hand you over to Mr. Roberto Vedovotto.
Thank you very much. Good evening to you all, and welcome to my first conference call after rejoining Safilo at the beginning of January. I am very excited about this opportunity, as I firmly believe in the long-term value potential of the group for all its stakeholders. Notwithstanding the current market environment, the share price performance, and the challenges ahead of us, I think we are a leading player in the industry and have key success factors to continue to build on in the context of a new external and internal framework, both substantially different from the one that I left 2.5 years ago. Let me start from externally. The economic and financial situation is extremely challenging, and after September 15, I personally have learned the hard way that even the fourth largest investment bank in the world can face totally unpredictable outcomes. Our industry is facing arguably one of the toughest times in its history, and the competitive landscape is increasingly more aggressive. We continue to witness a global slowdown in retail and consumer demand, coupled with certainly what has become a less than expected resilient demand for luxury goods. Internally, Safilo Group went through some difficult times and faced a series of challenges from an organizational and managerial standpoint. It is, however, now the time to address the issues, capitalize on the work carried out so far, and more than anything else, execute our new strategy. Today, I will provide you with my perspective on the 2008 preliminary results and give you an update on current trading, outline our strategy for the group, both from an operational and financial point of view, and finally, answer together with my team your questions. I'm here with Francesco Tagliapietra, Director of Administration Control, Christian De Felice, Director of Finance and Treasury, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. Let me start from 2008 preliminary results. Our 2008 preliminary results, which ended up basically in line with the revised forecast discussed with you in last November when I was not here yet, need to have a few comments. The key highlights and main drivers of our top line performance, particularly in Q4, were the following. First, resilient performance of the prescription frame business in all our priority markets. including the US, where we continue to register satisfactory results at our independent optician. Prescription frames increased by 6% in Q4, taking product performance flat in the year and positive at constant currency. Strong demand in Italy for our house brand Carrera, that in the quarter registered an increase of 60%. Product quality, advertising, and adequate pricing are the three key ingredients that made the brand quickly successful in the market. U.S. wholesale market was weak, in particular at department stores level, with double-digit decline in the sunglass segment. Still, the slowdown was less marked than expected thanks to the stable prescription frame business. Our performance in the region, a constant currency, was flat for the year and, unfortunately, registered a decline of 16% in the quarter. Total Asian sales grew by 2% during the year, while the decline at constant currency was 14% in Q4, mainly as a consequence of soft sales growth in some important emerging markets like South Korea and India, and challenging market conditions in Japan, with a negative performance of around 20%. Trading down in our wholesale as well as retail channels, with consumers looking for our top brand collection in their most affordable price point, remains the common denominator also in the last quarter of the year. Now let me go into distribution channel for a second. Wholesale channel contracted a constant currency by almost 9% in Q4 and by 4% in a yearly basis. The result of the last quarter represents a significant deterioration versus the negative low single-digit performance the channel had registered up to September, with a more evident reduction of the average ticket price and volume deterioration in sunglasses in Asia and in some European countries. Retail channels, 321 stores as of December 2008 compared to 180 at the end of 2007, registered a total growth, a constant currency of 85% in Q4 and almost 64% on a yearly basis. The contribution of the two acquired chains, Sunglass Island in Mexico and Just Spectacles in Australia, remained around 3% also in the fourth quarter. Comp sales were challenging in the quarter, negative by almost 12% and by 4% on a yearly basis. Full year results were in line with company's revised forecast. Total sales for the year were in line with 2007 at 1,190,000,000 constant currency, declining by 3.6% at current currency. This result was slightly better than November projection of a decline of around 2%, mainly due to better performance of the U.S. market, helped by heavily promotional environment during the weeks leading up to Christmas. Q4 eventually declined by 3.6 constant currency. EBITDA reached our revised target of 11% of total sales at 126 million, of which 24 million or 8.7% of total sales in Q4, with the drivers that I will try to shortly describe to you. Net financial position in line with the position at the end of September, 570 million euro, better than the range we had provided you with in November. Net income of the year was equal to 50 million or 1.2% of total sales, in line with our estimates. Please note that we are currently working with our auditors to assess a non-cash, non-recurring accrual related to a deferred tax item which would potentially impact our net income results by 35 to 40 million euros. Let me go quickly into the main drivers of our performance at EBITDA level. At the gross margin level, wholesale business was hit by negative dynamics that impacted previous quarter results, in particular lower production volumes. During Q4, we continued to implement the streamlining of our Italian factories' output to continue to maintain low level of inventory and a tight control of working capital requirements. Year-end further cleanup of slow-moving items and additional startup costs related to China operations had an impact too. The incidence of SG&A cost of total sales became higher in Q4, owing the very negative performance of comp sales, particularly at our US stores sources. A&P expenses in wholesale kept increasing as a result of marketing activities undertaken, particularly on house brands, and which clearly contributed to the successful year in Italy of Carrera sunglasses. In the fourth quarter, EBITDA was at 8.7% of total sales compared to 15.7% in Q4 2007. As mentioned, the impact on profitability was mainly in gross margin in the wholesale business and in the area of SG&A for retail channel. Now, as far as our net financial position is concerned, the 55 million euro increase versus 2007 is mainly due to the two retail acquisitions and the higher dividend paid in May 2008. On the other hand, we achieved a good result in terms of working capital management, where we had a release of resources of around 11 million euro, mainly due to the containment of inventory levels versus a 45 million euro absorption last year. Finally, on this front, I'd like to briefly provide you with an update on the main components of the net financial position at the end of December 2008. Around 99% of our gross debt is represented by long-term borrowings, which mainly include the senior loan expiring between December 2010 and December 2012, and the high-yield bond equal to a nominal value of 195 million euro, expiring in May 2013. We also have short-term borrowings for 163 million euro, including a factoring facility of 50 million euro. The financial leverage was at 4.5 times substantially better than the covenant on the senior loan set in November at 4.85 times. I would like to go quickly into a little bit of an update on current trading. As far as the current trading is concerned, no secret, January was difficult, with low double-digit declines in all our major markets. Market conditions seem slightly more balanced in Europe, where we continue to focus our efforts on selective distribution and category management. US and mature Asian markets remain tough, particularly in sunglasses. At the retail level, comp sales at Solstice, our US retail store, continued in January with the trends seen in end of November, December, declining high single digits, and a similar performance was also registered by Loop Vision in Spain. Now, I would would like to tell you my perspective on what we really would like to do. And I would like to spend a few minutes on our strategy going forward. We are the second largest player in our industry, and we have to react quickly to a situation that is not acceptable anymore. My vision is to bring Safilo to new standards of excellence and to lead a long-term, sustainable and efficient growth with a more balanced portfolio of licensed house brands, an increased presence in the retail channel, an enhanced wholesale division, new production facilities, rationalization of product development, and solid balance sheet and capital structure. How are we going to achieve these goals? We must focus on a financial and operating restructuring and execute our strategy from an organizational, business model, and financial standpoint. Seamless execution will be the key to drive efficiency, profitability, and ultimately value creation for all our stakeholders. As far as the organization is concerned, let me spend two words on this. Following my appointment, Massimiliano Tabacchi retains the role of strategic supervision in his capacity as executive vice chairman. I finally have a new COO, Mario Pietribiasi, reporting to me that for the first time in many years has full managerial authority and responsibility over all, and I underline over all, our business units. In particular, differently from the past, he oversees both sales and marketing, as well as design and production. Dario Bassetti, coming from Indesit and with significant experience in important international consumer goods companies, is our new director of marketing and licensing. So, we've done organizational. A business model. As far as our business model is concerned, my priority will be to implement quickly few but clear structural and strategic actions which, based on previous results, will help the group to successfully face a very challenging 2009 and lead in 2010 and beyond. The key areas we will be addressing are brand portfolio, retail, wholesale, production facilities, design, product development, and product offering. Brand portfolio, license and house brands. My key message here is strong support to our key licensed luxury brands, selective approach to other licensed brands, continue to build the house brand portfolio, grow organically, and via acquisitions at the appropriate time. Let me try to explain it to you a little bit. With reference to our brand portfolio capacity, on top of having renewed the Gucci license for 10 years, we have extended a number of license agreements, including Bottega Veneta, Alexander McQueen, Juicy Couture, Nine West, J Lo by Jennifer Lopez, and I think that we cannot have going forward the same approach with all clients and all brands. We will be extremely disciplined in taking a different stance toward key brands like Armani, Dior, and Gucci, as well as very proactive in implementing ad hoc strategy with our other smaller brands. As they say, it takes two to tango, and we're confident that we will be able to offer to all our brands a unique opportunity within our industry with unparalleled design, production, and distribution capabilities. We will make no compromises, as it has been done in the past, towards profitability, just to keep the largest number of brands in our portfolio. You will certainly see brands come and go accordingly to agreements that will have to be mutually satisfactory based on value creation criteria rather than prepaid minimum royalty guarantee or incremental marketing and advertising percentages. In addition, we clearly want to continue to focus on our house brands. Carrera has been a very successful example of what can be done organically with our own portfolio. We need to do more. At the appropriate time, of course, we will also look at selective acquisition opportunities. Retail. Key message here is to continue to build a retail presence in the long term, particularly following acquisition in Mexico and Australia, have a cautious stance and selective approach to new store openings. Again, let me be a little more specific. Given the market environment, we are lucky because even if we have added two new retail chains in 2008, we do not have too many stores, 321 at the end of December 08. And what we'll do is we'll take an opportunistic approach to new stores opening in 2009. At the end of the day, we have a green field in front of us, and we will be very selective in opening new stores, and even more so, extremely disciplined in closing non-performing stores. We cannot allow ourselves to have non-performing stores within our network. Wholesale, key message. Continue to select and segment the distribution and improve the sellout of our customers, staying close to our clients and focus on the sellout. Few details. We're working closely with our major licensors in order to implement a selective distribution strategy. Less but better qualified point of sales will be key to have a higher penetration of our customers, with an overall enhancement of profitability as the main target. We will certainly have to learn a lot, because we need to improve our commercial approach, working hard not only on the sell-in, but also and particularly on the sell-out. And we need to be prepared to sustain and help our clients on their point of sale with a specific focus on visual merchandising and category management. Production facilities. Particularly Italy and China. Key message here is the restructuring process currently underway in Italy with an impact on our workforce. China is the single most important long-term value creation project on the production front. Few details. Due to the current market climate, which is clearly characterized by lower demand, we are utilizing flexible Italian labor mechanism, i.e. cassa integrazione, in all of our factories during February and March. With reference to our production capacity, it is our priority for the coming weeks to monitor closely the demand and to find quickly the most appropriate industrial solutions. As far as the project in China is concerned, I'd like to provide you with a very brief update. Operations were started last spring in a rented facility while we were building our own plant. During the Chinese New Year, machineries were moved to the new building. Today, the company employs 400 people that are expected to become 1,000 by the end of the year. Design, product development, and product offering. Key message. Continue to rationalize product offering and product processes, drive profitability. We strongly believe that our product offering should certainly be rationalized in order to deliver more value for money to both our clients and our final customers. Our product offering is too large. Both our clients and our final customers are looking for lower entry prices to the luxury world. Better products in terms of technological content and construction materials with possibly significant innovation characteristics that we must admit have been stagnant in our industry for the past few years. We are simplifying our SKUs and we are becoming more efficient with spare parts and components. A lot needs to be done and we'll do it. Our operational model is very, very complex and focused on service. We will certainly need to improve it and we'll do it. As far as our financial capabilities and strategy are concerned, I want to be extremely clear with you. We must be disciplined, as we cannot allow ourselves to have a leverage which is not sustainable and a cash flow generation not in line with our needs. We will have to focus on increased cash flow generation, selective capex, working capital management, dividend policy will be monitored very closely and will be paramount in our strategy going forward. We need to also focus and strengthen our balance sheet and certainly on deleveraging. Not easy, but we can do it. Finally, and I hope I was not too long or too boring, before turning over to you for Q&A, I want to be extremely clear about the fact that I will not make any comment on recent press speculation concerning the shareholder structure of our company. Thank you very much to you all for your attention, and together with the team, we are now available to answer your questions. Operator, back to you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Stefano Corneliani of Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have several questions for you. I will limit myself to the first three ones. The first is about the contribution to sales you got from the re-inclusion in Luxottica's retail operations in North America. If you could give us an idea on the impact you had on your OS sales and the presumable impact you're going to see in 2009 in order to get a better idea of the organic performance you're going to register. Secondly, if you could specify how many days of the so-called Italian CIG, Cassa Integrazione Guadagni, you're going to take in February and March, and if you could remember to us the kind of cash contribution that the company should pay and the maximum number of days you should eventually benefit. And thirdly, about covenants, you mentioned some 485 times and that EBITDA covenant with respect to the 450 you got at the end of the year. Given that presumably 2009 numbers will become lower than 2008, and just understand if you've already talked with banks in order to eventually readjust covenants or the kind of penalties or consequences you're going to face in case of breaching covenants. Thank you.
Hello, Stefano?
Yeah.
Thank you for your question, first of all. I'll try to answer very quickly. Answer to the first question is one word, meaningful. Answer to second question is we can't really make too many comments. As you know, negotiations with unions are particularly engaging, and therefore I prefer to give you eventually the details on how we are progressing, given that they are extremely cooperative with us and they do understand our needs next time we talk together. Covenants, you said it right, we have of course started a number of conversations with our current lenders, and I would like to signal very clearly that they are extremely helpful and extremely cooperative.
But about the at least the Cassa Integrazione Guadagni, you mentioned you're going to have some day offs both in February and March. That means negotiations have already been concluded with the unions. And then there's a maximum number of days that is per law, not because of negotiations. So just to make me clear, what would be the extent you're going to benefit, or you already negotiated benefits with the unions and the remaining portion to be eventually benefit going forward?
The maximum is 52 weeks in 2 years. Having said that, you're absolutely right. We started to do some cash integration in all our factories for a few days on a rotation basis, if I can use this word. And again, certainly we have reached an agreement for February and March. I would prefer, if you don't mind, be patient with us to give you further details about how much we will utilize. I would prefer to make these comments next time we talk to each other.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Antoine Belge of HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening, Antoine Belge, HSBC. Three questions. First of all, I was looking at your Q4 net financial charges, which was more than 20 million. Were there any exceptional charges in that financial result line? And also, if someone look ahead in 2009, what would what's your estimate of the net financial charges, given especially since I mean it's likely that trends will be quite difficult, and there is a risk that the level of operating profit doesn't match this financial interest. The second question is more, in fact, in terms of strategy. I was looking at your, key initiatives, and I mean, some of them, I think, looks quite similar to the strategy since the IPO of Safilo, i.e., having a stronger house brand portfolio and also an increased retail presence. So, can you perhaps, give us some concrete example of what is going to change at Safilo? And finally, could you provide us with a CapEx number? And also, does it imply some deferred retail openings, especially in the U.S.?
Well, as far as the financial charges for the Q4, we didn't have any exceptional cost on that line. The difference that you could notice on that line is mainly due to exchange differences. Remember that portion of our total debt is US dollar denominated. So when, as happened in the fourth quarter, there is a strengthening of the U.S. dollar value, there is a translation of this part of total debt that is around 100 million euros with a larger amount that impacts completely in the quarter. The second question was as far as CapEx. Are you speaking about last year or
Well, honestly, I mean both. I mean, first of all, how you ended White, maybe just so mentioning what was the impact of the China plant, and then give us maybe a provisional budget for 2009.
Well, as far as last year, 2009, slide 5, you can see some details about our total investment. The capex, the real capex, excluding the acquisition, has been 54 million euros, of which around 15, 16 were related to the new plant in China, and about 20 million euros were related to the retail. This year, we expect to reduce this investment, especially in the retail side, because the expectation is to open less stores than last year, while on the China side, we expect no many differences compared to 2008.
Okay, in terms of what you mentioned as a similar strategy that the company had when he was IPO'd, you know, I think, yes, there is nothing magic within this industry. The reality is that the two main strategic pillars should be, again, a better balance between house brands and licensed brands, and certainly an element of vertical integration which will help at the appropriate time profitability. So I think you know, you have seen the example of Carrera is being extremely successful. We need to extend that into the other house brands that we own. I think Smith particularly has a huge brand awareness. We can certainly enhance that, and we need to capitalize on Smith as well as Safilo. And then we will go into Oxido and Blue Bay. In terms of retail, I think there are, in the short term, things that can be done in order to push up performance of existing stores. As I said before, we will close down those that are not performing, and we will be extremely disciplined in terms of new openings. Of course, again, in the short term, we can also try to improve performance of those stores through a better and higher percentage of our own products within the stores, particularly given the fact that differently from our licensed brands, our own product is medium end in terms of price point, and therefore given market conditions it will be certainly more appealing for consumer. And again, in the medium term, we will have a lot to do in terms of optimization and higher efficiency through synergies in terms of marketing, in terms of technology, in terms of IT. Therefore, I think that we are much better than before because we have learned through experience and with unfortunately limited results that yes, both house brands and retail are probably the right way to follow. Certainly now we need to deliver and implement through a very, very focused strategy.
Okay, thank you. I mean, can I just reiterate one of my questions, which was also having an idea of the amount of financial charges for 2009?
Sorry, can you just repeat this question? What did you say again?
Yeah, because, I mean, in the light of the increase that we saw in Q4 at 2008 of financial charges, I was wondering if you could provide us with a figure in terms of financial interest charges for 2009, for the full year.
The net financial charges for the 2009 will be basically in line with 2008, except for the FX impact.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Emanuele Cagnoni of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Just three questions, if I may. The first is back to CapEx. If I may ask, where would you see your CapEx being, given that the China plant has a kind of quite fixed commitment, as you were saying, and were you not to open any further retail stores over the year? So where would you see your CapEx in 2009? Or, if you want, where you would see the level of maintenance CapEx for 2009? Following this is instead on working capital. If you could please comment a bit on the trends of the second half 08, and where do you see the trends in terms particularly of inventory and receivables, given your initiatives to go over the next year, so in 2009? And finally, on Asian performance, you provide some kind of updates on current trading in Europe and the U.S. If you may tell us or give us some color also on the Asian performance in the first weeks of 2009. Thank you very much.
Well, as far as CAPEX is concerned, for 2009, and the expectation, as I said before, is to have a similar amount of investment for the completing of the new factory in China, with a slowdown in investment in the retail. The expected investment for the total year in the new facility in China, retail and other investment is around 40-45 million euros maximum. And we will see going ahead during the year if there are some opportunity to have some saving on this amount. As far as working capital is concerned, and particularly inventory, also in 2009, as it happened in last year, there are some activities and projects finalized on trying to reduce the total inventory at group level. And particularly, we are working for centralizing some stock that is in this moment is in different distribution centers in the group. So we expect to have some benefit from a cash standpoint, so from the management of inventory. Finally, as far as Asian trend at the beginning of 2009. It's particularly difficult this year making comparison for the specific Asian market. The reason is quite simple. The year end, the Chinese year end has been this year at the end of January, while in 2008 it was in mid-February. So any comparison on a weekly basis or monthly basis is impossible. Again, we are not seeing a strong market, but before saying that there is a real comparison, we want to wait some other weeks.
Okay, thank you. And just a follow-up on the CapEx question. You were mentioning the 40-45 million. This would be a level where you don't include any expansion in retail.
In this amount, there is also the inclusion of some stores in the retail that is less in any case than what we invested in 2008. As we said, there will be some specific attention on, with a much more selective attention on the opportunity on the retail side.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Flavio Cereda of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. It's a quick question for Francesco, perhaps. Can you just give us a little bit more insight in what's happened to the SG&A costs in Q4? I see a 30% increase year-on-year, please. Thank you.
Well, as far as the G&A increase on the fourth quarter, but in general, a comparison between 2008 and 2007, the most part of this increase is related to the retail. We are consolidating the two acquisitions that we made last year in Mexico and Just Spectacles. If we take the G&A cost for at group level only on the wholesale part, the total amount has increased slightly more than inflation on the wholesale, while on the retail the fact that there are two new companies has substantially increased. In terms of incidence of SG&A over the sales, it has increased only because, particularly on the retail, the comp sales have declined, so the G&A have increased much more. The comp sales has declined of double digits, less 12%, and so you can understand that the impact is much more.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Katie Rucci of JP Morgan. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hi, good evening. I am sorry if you've already answered this, but I got disconnected from a call, so I missed a little bit. I just wanted to go over your liquidity at your end, if it's possible. I already see the cash on hand, but if you can go a little bit in detail on the bank lines and what's committed and what is uncommitted as of the end of the fiscal year, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, basically we have the commitment, of course, on the revolving credit facility. At the other hand, we have 165 drawdown in terms of the revolving, so we have an availability of 35 million, and then we have roughly 200 million in terms of cash plus hot money that are not committed. So basically we have a total availability of 235 million.
Okay, so the 200 million includes the 53.6 million cash on hand, and then yes. The remainder is uncommitted lines.
Yeah, exactly. The remainder is revolving and the uncommitted credit line facilities.
Okay, so the 35 million available from the revolving facility, is that included in the 200 million figure? I'm sorry, I'm just trying not to double count.
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay, so you have 200 million cash plus uncommitted lines plus 35 million available from the revolving facility.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Stefano Corneliani of Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon again. Back to covenants. The 4.85 times net debt to EBITDA was on full year numbers. I'm right when assuming 3.5 times is still available, is still the real and valid number for 2009? If yes, what kind of implication you'll face in 2009 when breaching the 3.5 times? And secondly, if you could spend a few words on the reason behind the 35-40 million provision you're presumably going to take on fully erroneous numbers. Thank you.
Okay, Stefano, again, Roberto here. 3.5, yes, is the correct number, and of course we are, as I said before, trying to discuss, we are discussing with the mainlanders about different solution to a possible breach of covenant. Of course, again, we will keep you posted on how those conversations will progress, but I want to reiterate the message that the major lenders are extremely cooperative with the company at the moment, and we are confident that we will find a positive solution to those discussions. And now turning to Francesco on your second question.
Yes, Stefan, as far as the provision that we are evaluating, this provision is related to the Sacred SPA company, Italian company, that has deferred tax asset in its balance sheet. And considering the market environment for next year, we are evaluating to make an extraordinary provision on our balance sheet for covering the potential risk of not being able in next years to recover this deferred tax asset. I want to underline that in any case, these deferred tax assets have no expiring date, so we don't have a timing issue. And if the market recover, there is the full availability of the reversal of this deferred tax asset.
Okay, just to better understand the situation, because it's not really clear to me on covenants. I understand that you are cooperating and discussing with banks, but I presume there's contracts behind the outstanding credit lines. So if there's a contract, in order to understand your bargaining power when talking to banks, I mean, there are for sure clauses that point to really well-defined conclusions if you breach covenants. Is it possible to understand how they work?
I believe that we will not get into that situation where those clauses will trigger. The contracts are pretty much market standard, but again, I might be wrong, but I don't think we will get into that situation, and we'll find possibly a solution much earlier than getting into such a nasty discussion.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Rachel Golder of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, thank you. Just to follow on the covenant question, is it a quarterly test? So do you need to have resolved this by the end of the first quarter, or is it only annual?
It is semi-annual, therefore we will have to measure it June 30th.
Okay.
Of course, June 30th we will communicate results 1 month later, so we're talking about end of July.
Okay. You paid a very large dividend in the middle of 2008, and you did mention in terms of maintaining your liquidity in this year of being cognizant of liquidity in setting dividend policy. Can you talk about any discussions you've had about dividend policy for this year?
Rachel, I didn't appreciate your question. Unfortunately, I apologize, but I cannot make comments on this item because board of directors has not reached any determination. The strong message I wanted to to reiterate is that we will be extremely cautious about liquidity. Cannot mm-hmm. make any further comment on dividends.
All right. You also talked about working with your licensors to effectively establish a new going forward type of relationship. And I wonder if you could just maybe repeat what you said. I wasn't really understanding what you were hoping to accomplish with your in the licensing process. What sort of, whether it's flexibility in volumes or in styles or numbers of styles or in payment terms and the like.
Yeah, I think seems to me that you know the industry pretty well. I'm referring to both. What I was trying to say is that, of course, when you're rushing to the final goal of having as much brands as possible in your portfolio, sometimes you do make some compromises. It is time now to given the extremely good relationship we have with all of our licensors, to get into a discussion where each other will help, where we will help each other. And you said it right. It will go from having more commercial collections, where they will understand that you know we have limited possibility of error and more, even more so, limited time to make errors in this market environment. Into discussion which will have to encompass different. Entry price point for some collections, which will go also into discussion about minimum guaranteed, which will go into discussion about volumes and business plan. In other words, what I said is that, and I repeat it, given it takes two to tango, mm-hmm. if it makes sense for both, to go on with the relationship, and I'm not talking about Armani Gucci Dior, or Armani Dior Gucci, sorry, alphabetical mm-hmm. order, always, but I'm talking about brands that are really small and do have a very limited impact into our revenues. Again, it will have to make sense.
Yeah.
It is not possible that you know, we lose Stella McCartney, and for the impact that Stella McCartney had in our numbers, we lose 40 million market cap. It doesn't make any sense, you know. I don't want to make specific comments about specific revenues for specific brands, but I'm sure, or better, I hope I was able to transfer to you what I had in mind.
Sure, thank you for that. Your very first comment was it's a very competitive environment out there, and one of the places you compete is on licensing in terms. Have you seen any activity out of your key competitors that sends any signal or any concern about how license terms are being set going forward?
Of course, the renewal of Gucci was a big achievement, mm-hmm. and I think it has been conducted properly by the management team that did it before my arrival. I'd rather not comment on what our competitors are doing towards new license or getting license from us and all of that. What I really would like, Rachel, and I hope you appreciate to make comment on is how we will, you know, focus on profitability and execution. What I've seen already in 4 weeks is that we still have a lot of incoming calls from different brands that would like to entertain discussion with us. We will have to be very selective and extremely, again, sorry if I use this word again, discipline also in what we take on.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
The next question is from Ms. Francesca Di Pasquantonio of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hi, good evening. I have a few remaining questions, please. The first one is if you can provide an indication of how your designer brands performed versus the house brands. I mean, what type of decline should we also think of for 2009? Linked to this question would be if you see any risk associated with the minimum guaranteed for the three key licenses at least. The third question that I have is whether you have made any exceptional provisions on inventories and receivables this year, or whether you have not, and in this respect, can we expect more material provisioning in 2009? The fourth question is regarding goodwill. I haven't seen any mention about the any result of the impairment test, which should suggest that the goodwill will not be written down by any means, if you can confirm that. And then I have a final question, if I may, which is for Mr. Vedovotto, whether he is, what is triggering his remuneration, if it's set on financial objectives or on operating objectives, i.e., is it linked to EBITDA or is it linked to recapitalization targets? Many thanks.
Francesca, happy to be back with you, and particularly happy to answer the last question. My remuneration is triggered on overall results of the company. As you know, I'm not a CFO. I do not intend to be a CFO, not even a glorified CFO, as somebody had defined it. So I'm the CEO of the company, and my compensation will be triggered based on overall results of the company, which includes financial results, operating results. And again, I want to underline the fact that Mario Di Tribiasi, being the Chief Operating Officer, has full responsibility, reporting to me, but full responsibility of the business. As you remember, I'm sure, we've known each other for some time now. There was a clear separation when I was CEO of the company 3 years ago between license, sales, marketing, and operation product development, which did not make much sense. Now, finally, things will make sense also from an organizational standpoint. Have I answered your last question?
More or less.
What else do you want to know?
No, I mean, you stated at the beginning that you would not comment about or wouldn't answer any question regarding recapitalization ideas or requirements, so I'm not going to go into more depth in that.
No, but the question was regarding my compensation, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I was hoping to get a little bit more out of that, but never mind.
Okay. So at least I properly answered the question. Then, going back to the first question, you've asked performance of licensed brands versus house brands 2008 or?
Yeah, 2008, and what can we expect for 2009?
You know, going forward, as I mentioned before, I think that, you know, our clients and consumers, even more so, will be focusing on products which have medium and type of price point. And therefore, I think we will have a pickup of performance of our house brands with our licensed brands, which will, again, possibly have a little bit of downturn, and particularly those that are more focused and concentrated in luxury type of products with super high average prices. Again, going back to Rachel's question, we are trying to explain this point to our licensors. They do understand it even better than what we do because it is their core business. I expect to possibly be able to convince them that we should try to make products and to target the market with prices which are a little bit more convenient than what we have at the moment. I think you know,
that's for yes, Francesca.
Maybe in terms of what your other question, then I'll ask Francesco to make a few comments on the performance on 2008, because I think I've given you a little bit of an answer on going forward. But I was interested in your second question, minimum guarantee.
Yeah.
I do not expect to hit minimum guarantee. I think that in general, as you know, and without making specific comments about specific brands, minimum guarantee are 75 to 80% of previous year's sales. Again, it is not my expectation to hit any minimum guarantee.
And the same was for 2008 as well, for all the major brands. As far as the question related to the goodwill and the impairment test, we have already internally tested the goodwill, and we do not expect any possible devaluation on the goodwill of the company. While your third question was related to exceptional provision on inventory for extra obsolescence or accruals on the credit side, the system that we have internally for evaluating the risk of obsolescence for our inventory is in some way an automatical system that takes in consideration the forecast for each single SKU in our sales. So we do not have any exceptional provision. What we had in the full year was a particularly conservative approach based on the fact that the forecast were declining, and so we had a higher impact in 2008 compared to previous years on the obsolescence cost, but it was not something exceptional in some way with an extra accrual. As far as credit side receivable, we did something higher than 2007, but nothing really so large.
Francesca, did we answer all your questions?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Cathy Rucci of JP Morgan. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hi. I just had a follow-up. I know we've talked about the covenant, but I have two questions. The first one is that when negotiations with your lenders were done to increase the headroom on the year-end covenant from 3.5 to 4.85, and given, you know, the deterioration in the business and, you know, pretty much the gloom and doom scenarios out there from everyone, can you just give me some color as to why those, you know, that covenant headroom increase was not extended to the June period one? I mean, I don't understand what did, you know, the banks expect to change so much or you know, in terms of operating performance and cash to get back to, you know, from 4.85 to 3.5 times?
Again, I think, you know, when the 485 covenant level was negotiated, believe it or not, the gloom and doom scenario that you described was less gloomy and doomy. In other words, you know, it was negotiated well ahead reporting days, so well ahead November 14 when then it was communicated to the market, because it was, you know, signed precisely then. But you're absolutely right, but it should be probably a question for the lenders. What do they think would have probably improved going forward at the end of the year or in 2009? Not much. It was not a discussion that was entertained on 2009 and forwards. banks were not prepared to do it, and I think the company instead wanted to make sure that there was no issue whatsoever on year end. Once again, I'd like and I'd love to be more specific on this. We are entertaining discussion with them, and we're confident that they'll be supportive.
And then I appreciate it, and I do wish you guys good luck on that. I guess the concern is that, as you know fully well, another Italian company in a licensed business just filed for bankruptcy this week, and you know, to some extent that was driven by those uncommitted lines not being available anymore. So, you know, I guess the question is, given the environment, what is your amortization schedule in terms of what are your obligations for the next 6 months? And B, how urgent do you think you may need, a capital injection, given that obviously you've got about $150 million of available credit, which is uncommitted lines, and, you know, the bankers are known to be fickle at times. Thank you.
Cathy, after Lehman Brothers, thank you for reminding me of another company that filed for bankruptcy, again, I think AT Holding is a completely different story from Safilo.
Of course.
And I know very well, for some reason, their situation. Let me be very clear. We do not have any of our licensors that is not supportive, as the case was, unfortunately, for that other company. And our situation in terms of liquidity is completely different from what they had. Again, it is a very, very different business. Remember that 50% of our revenues are completely stable. We are the second largest player in the industry. We have a very solid relationship with our licensors. So, again, with all the respect for everybody else, very unfortunate situation, we're talking about two different planets. I cannot and I will not make any comment on capital injection, and I will leave it to Christian De Felice on amortization schedules.
Okay, and the amortization regards basically the tranche of the senior loan facility, and in June we have to pay roughly 20 million euros, the other 20 million euros in December, so for a total of 40 million euros during 2009.
Okay, thank you. And I wasn't trying to draw any conclusions, it's just that it reminded us that, you know, those bank lines, when you think you have them, despite the problems, sometimes you don't. Just wanted, again, I'm not making any parallels on the two companies' liquidity or profiles. Thank you.
No, and Cathy, I really appreciate it. Please, I do not underestimate how difficult the market is, how difficult the capital markets are, and how changed is the bank's attitude towards companies. So please, bear with us, and we hope that we'll give you an update as soon as possible on how those negotiations will progress.
Thanks again, and good luck.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. First, I wonder if you could be more specific on indication of the low double-digit wholesale decline you have experienced in these first weeks of 2009, and if you are referring to, let's say, currency neutral or with current forex. And second question is on your evolution you see in the COGS for 2009, so if you're already seeing some benefit from the lower commodity prices and so on.
Well, as far as the performances on sales on January, we're speaking about the particularly orders received because we are launching the campaign of January. We said that the performance was low double-digit negative compared to last year. Again, there is a difficult comparison in Asia because, for what I said before, there is the Chinese year end that happened in January instead of February, mid-February. As far as split between sunglasses and prescription, the decline was particularly on sunglasses. And again, in terms of in the highest part of our offer in terms of price point, so the most luxury brand.
And any more specific indication? You know, double digit ranges from 10 to 99, so low double digit, I mean, probably below 15, but yes. It's hard to say. Okay, it's fine.
It's in line for about fourth quarter 2008. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The second question.
We thought low double digit was between 10 and 20%, but you're absolutely right. It is between 10 and 99. So
okay.
Below 15% for sure. Yeah. No, sorry for that, but you know, we meant to drive you towards a double digit, which was between 10 and 15%.
Okay. Okay.
Apologies for that.
Okay,
can you repeat the second question, please?
Well, on the evolution of the cost of goods sold you are experiencing entering 2009, if you see, apart from obviously the problems on volumes, but if you see some benefit already on the cost of goods sold, on the commodity prices falling down, and so on the deflationary scenario.
Well, as far as the cost of good expectation for the first half of the year, cost of goods sold, we are not impacted by fluctuation of commodities, so we don't expect benefit from that. We are working on cost of goods sold on the gross margin for improving it in the coming quarters. Most of the benefit will come as soon as the Chinese plant will start the production. So nothing is expected in the first quarter of the year because we are moving in the new factory in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Something more is expected to come from the following quarter.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Edward Crowley of Exxon BNP Paribas. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening. So actually most of my questions have been answered so far. Could you just update us on the trading down evidence you have seen in Q4? Do you see this as an opportunity maybe to further roll out brands like Carrera across the wholesale network, which obviously benefit from better price point, and how consistent such rollout would be with the effort on SG&A cut or maybe cost containment, owing to the fact that this will, of course, lead to maybe some costs. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, the answer is yes to both of your questions. It is, we believe, a good opportunity to certainly roll out Carrera and possibly repeat success that we have had in Italy during the last few months. I think, Edward, the opportunity here is not only for Carrera outside Italy, it is also for some of our other brands, both with a better distribution in terms of more focus with a better quality of client and in terms of higher reach to different countries. And again, I think the second part of the question had to do with profitability. Yes, this will be consistent with an improvement in profitability. As you may imagine, I wish I could do much more than 20% in house brands. It will be our focus going forward. We will be very determined in trying to improve those numbers.
And if I can just follow up on that, do you plan, for instance, I know that in Italy the success of Carrera so far this year was mainly due to sun products, but is there an upside on maybe optical frames or any plans to launch such lines? Or I know some products already do exist, but further upside on that, maybe?
Yeah, you are totally right. The huge success of Carrera was basically due to a number of styles, which were, I would say, the sunglasses of the 80s, which had been hugely successful among young people, but not only. Now, we do also offer Carrera prescription frames. We have been offering them for a while, and of course we will certainly need to improve styles there, and that's precisely the process we're going through at the moment, as well as, I may sound a little bit repetitive, but with Smith. At the moment, Smith has a huge brand awareness among young people, within particularly certain young people practicing a number of different extreme sports. We also offer Smith prescription frames, and we will push towards that going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Federica Sambiase of Citigroup. Please go ahead, madam.
Hello, good afternoon. Just one quick question. Mr. Pedovotto at the beginning mentioned your intention to deleverage, and if it's possible, would you like to comment a little bit on your statement? Thank you.
Federica, thank you very much for your question. Unfortunately, I cannot make any further comment, but I think it is my duty to deleverage the company substantially.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Ms. Francesca Di Pasquantonio of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, sorry. A clarification, please. During your presentation, you mentioned the idea or the possibility of doing opportunistic acquisitions. How can this be consistent with your deleveraging objectives?
Francesca, I said going forward. So,
well, going forward, the deleveraging and going forward opportunistic acquisitions.
Brava, exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
which one? I hope deleveraging comes first then.
Absolutely, deleveraging comes first. I hope I'm not going to be here for the short term. So I was, since I'm back, and didn't seem that you missed me too much, but still I'm back. You know, I wanted to, during my first conference call, give you a little bit of a heads up on what I intend to do on the medium to the long term. So priority number one is to deleverage, and then, you know, as opportunities will materialize, we'll look at acquisition, and we hope we're going to be able to do it.
Okay, well, thank you.
Do you think it is a good strategy or not?
Well, I think that at the moment you cannot really think too much long term. So,
I'm always an optimistic person, so
as long as deleveraging comes quickly enough, that can be a good strategy, and substantially enough.
Exactly, I tend to deliver on the short term. And then, you know, we all need to have a longer-term perspective, I think.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Laurent Saliot of Zedig Asset Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yes. Coming back to the deleveraging of your company, which is obviously in state of need, the disposal of the retail, the 321 stores which currently don't make any money, is it an option? And if so, is it technically feasible, or are you already structured for such a disposal, or it will be difficult to do because of the integration it may have with the other division, or I don't know what else, with vis-à-vis the banks?
No, it is not an option because it don't make any money. So I would hate to sell assets that don't make money, because valuation will be in line with an asset that doesn't make money, so it will not be helpful.
But it may be, it has a footprint, it's making sales, it may have a value for the acquirer.
Yeah, but unfortunately when you are in a situation where people may realize that you need to sell, people will tend to focus more on bottom line than top line.
Okay.
To answer properly to the second part of your question, yes, technically we could do it tomorrow morning, but you know, unless I'm obliged to do it, I do not want to sell retail.
Okay.
What I want to do on retail is to possibly enhance performance, because as I said, we're not making money in retail yet, but no, we do not want to sell it.
Okay. Well, you said, you know, when I will look very carefully at my retail portfolio and not accept loss makers. When you look at your 320 store or your 110 million of sales, how many percentage are losing money, and how much will it cost to basically close them down? Is it feasible because of leases? Hello?
I'm going through an in-depth review of the retail retail sales network, and I prefer, if you wouldn't mind, to ask you to come back to you on the number of stores that we will need to close down, as well as on the cost of those. I do apologize for not being more specific on this, but you know, I basically just arrived and, you know, tried.
Okay, no, fair enough. Just on the commitment on your CapEx, you know, when you say I'm going to spend a maximum 40 to 45, and hopefully I would do less than that, I had in mind that in 08 you spend, roughly speaking, 15 million in new opening of stores, i.e. this could be cut. What is already pledged in 09?
Pledge? What do you mean by pledge? Can you explain?
Pledge is I have signed a how do you say that in
committed?
Yes, I'm committed. I have signed with a landowner, and therefore it will be you know, I will have 3 years rental penalty if I don't take the premise, and so I'm maybe better off opening the stores even if I don't have much money to do. I mean, basically what I want to know is, you know, do you have 15 million discretionary spending in your 54, which you had in 08? Can you come back and say, okay, I have China, I have to do it, so it's probably an additional 10 million in 09. Then I have my minimum capex, which I believe was around 20 million. And then I had the retail, which was around 15. So all in all, if I can get out of the 50, if I don't have to do any retail, indeed, I could go down below 40, and hopefully in 2010, below, when China is over, below 30. This is the number I want to know in CapEx.
Yeah. If I understand correctly your question, I think I will have about 9.5 million euro in retail CapEx.
08 or 09?
09.
Okay.
Which, basically, as you said it correctly, has been somehow already committed, and it would be more expensive to get out from those contracts than to perform the commitment that had been taken. So it is a number which is lower than the 15 million that you had mentioned, but that is my indication specifically for retail.
And the last question, you know, when I look at your bank, your gross bank debt, your financial debt, you know, my 624 million, I take out the high yield, which is 195. I get to, indeed, a commitment from bank, which at the end is around 430 million. How many banks share this 430 million? And who is the big bank who will be, let's say, the leader in talking to you vis-à-vis renegotiations of your covenants and helping you to go through this difficult time?
Yes, The answer is five banks, and the two major banks are the two most important Italian banks by size, Intesa and UniCredito.
So they have a lead?
Yes. Five banks in total, and two banks have the largest exposure, Intesa San Paolo and UniCredit.
Okay, so they were known in Italy. Okay.
Yes, they were known in Europe, I guess, but...
No, I mean, that means that, you know, it will... it will be politically sensitive not to help you go through this difficult time. That's what I want to know. I mean,
we hope so. Thank you.
Thanks.
We hope so, and we believe that again they demonstrated that they are extremely cooperative.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's Roberto Rodovato here again. I think there are no more questions. So I really would like to thank everybody for their participation, their support, and I'm happy to be back and looking forward to speaking to you in the near future.